Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. I said the word's good.
Amen.
Are you glad the word's good? Praise amen. His name forevermore. I'll tell you what, God wants to do something in your life.
Amen.
Amen. He wants to bless you. He wants to make your rest of your days the best that you've ever had. Praise God. Hallelujah. He wants to take what you're going through. He wants to turn that around. He wants to set you on high. He wants to turn your physical life around. He wants to turn your financial life around. He wants to turn your family around. He wants to turn your mind around. He wants to turn your emotions around. He is the God that loves you so much. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray before we get into His Word this morning. We got some things to share. I knew the service was going to go one of two ways this morning. And I know what the Holy Ghost wants us to say, so we're going to say it. Father, help us this morning. We thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank You that as I open my mouth, You're going to fill it with words from heaven. And Lord, I'm going to say things this morning, Father, that are going to strike bullseyes in the heart of every listener. And they're going to think to themselves, how did He know that I needed to hear that? And the truth is, I didn't know that they needed to hear that. But Father, You did. And so I thank You. You help us this morning. Thank You for insight, wisdom, and revelation. Thank You, Lord, for boldness, for utterance. Thank You that the Word, has free course and is glorified. And Father, we thank You that we're going to a new level of glory here this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Real quick before we get to the message, there was a couple that sat over there last week. They were brand new. And they were visiting because they had known my mom in a former place where my mom lived. And my mom, I guess, was bragging on her boy. And they had to come check it out, you know, this crazy preacher. And so they came and... At the end of the service last week, the lady said to me, she said, I just can't even believe it. She said, we are going through so much right now, and You touched on every single thing. I didn't know them from anybody. So say, Pastor, you think you're awesome? No, I'm telling you, I'm a dummy without Jesus. But with Jesus, my goodness, He'll help us this morning. Amen? So be hungry and be ready. Praise God. Go to Mark 11, verse 23. Mark 11 and verse 23, this is our help. Praise His name forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Mark 11, 23 says, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, shall have what he says. Thank God for this verse. This verse tells us we can have mountains in our life and they don't have to stay there, that we can speak to them, and if we'll believe it, God's power will flow through our faith and that thing will be removed, whatever we say. Thank God faith offers us a life that can change the natural. You don't have to live with the cards that you've been dealt, praise God. I was dealt a lot of cards, many of you have been dealt a lot of cards, but my goodness, God can turn it around and give us a good hand. Praise God. It's true. And so we love that verse. Verse 24 says, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you'll have them. What's he telling you? You can have a 100% success rate in your prayer life. This prayer is called the prayer of faith. That Jesus said, if you'll pray and believe you receive it before it shows up, you'll have it, praise God. So number 23 says that you can have what you say. Number 24 says you can have what you pray. And my spiritual great-granddaddy, Brother Hagin, said this. He said, there's been no other better words that fell from the Master's lips concerning the area of faith than Mark 11, 23 and 24. It tells us we can change the natural. It tells us we can change our circumstances. Amen? And we love those verses, don't we? We've lived off those verses. We've been blessed off those verses. But it doesn't stop at 24. Because verse 25, the first word in verse 25 says, and. That means and is connected to verse 24. And is connected to verse 23. Well, we got to find out what the and is. Because we like 23. We like 24. But 25 says, and. When you stand praying. So it's talking about the previous verses. When you stand praying, what does that mean? Well, when you're doing Mark 11, 23, which is what? When I'm on my walk with my dog, I'm confessing things that I'm believing. Why? Jesus said, I'll have what I say. He didn't say, I'll have what I think. He didn't say, I'll have what I hope. He didn't say, I'll have what I wish. And He didn't say, I'll have what I need. He said, I'll have what I say. So I better say some things if I want to have some things. And you better start saying some things and being faithful to say some things if you want to have some things. Because Jesus isn't a liar. So I say some things on that walk, and I walk that dog, and I confess things for the church, and I say things for the church. And then Mark 11:24, it says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you'll have them. That's the prayer of faith. Father, I thank you for my healing. Lord, I need healing. I thank you for my healing. I believe I receive it now. If I cooperate with that, I'll have my healing. Amen? So when I'm standing in the place of confessing, when you stand, go to verse 25, please. When you stand praying, that's the confessing, that's the praying. He says something has to go with that confessing and that believing when you pray. When you stand praying, forgive. When you're in that place, he says, you must forgive what? If you have aught. That word aught in the King James is just the word anything. Everybody say anything. Don't forget that word. Anything. He says, when you're standing in a place of speaking to that mountain, of believing God for change, forgive if you have anything against anyone. Amen. That's what it says there, right? So he says, yes, you can have what you say. Yes, you can have what you pray. But if you want to have what you say and you want to have what you pray, you also have to forgive while you're in that place of confessing and believing God, if you have anything against anyone. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about forgiveness here this morning. So I want to look at some things, because you say, well, what's the big deal on forgiveness? Only if your faith works or not. Yeah. A lot of people are confessing, it's going, grudges and bitterness and backbiting and, holding on to things, Yeah, go ahead, keep doing that, sure. Pew. Oh, Father, I need this. Hits the ceiling, drops back to the floor. Kerplunk, right on the floor. Splat. Yeah, come on, that's what Jesus said. When you stand confessing and praying, forgive anything of anyone. So I want to help you today with forgiveness. Now, I'm going to say this like I said last night. I knew we were going this direction this morning. I thought maybe we'd take it a different direction, but that's not what the Holy Ghost said during worship, so we're going this direction. But I said this last night, I dangled a carrot out in front of the people. At the end of this service, I'm going to share something. And I said before the service, because this is what I knew by the Spirit, that it would be a great blessing to people. The whole message will be a great blessing to people. It'll change your life and help your faith work. But I'm going to say something at the end of the message. And I got a text message as I was leaving church last night that somebody had they'd talked back and forth, and they said, I've never heard that before put that way, and how basically it set them free. And that's what's going to happen this morning. So that's the little carrot out in front of you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so anyways, I want to help you to look at some things with forgiveness. Why? Jesus said it's a must. Are you ready? Point number one. Now, these are heavy points at first. But you know what? I want your faith to work. Amen. Walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. Oh, that's profound, I know. Walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. If you choose to walk in unforgiveness, it will not help your life. I heard it put this way, that walking in unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the effects, it affects the other person that you're holding the grudge against. But that's not how poison works. Oh, I see a person. I want them dead. I'm going to drink some poison. You're dead, not them. That's what unforgiveness is. Now, I want to show you something here through the Word of God. You're going to see what I'm sharing. This is going to tie it all together, why it's so important. Forgiveness is an act of love. Love is its thing, but branching out from love are different actions. I want to show you that forgiveness is an act of love. Now go to 1 John 4 and verse 8. If you don't want to turn there, you can look up on the screen. But 1 John 4 and verse 8. 1 John 4 and verse 8 says this. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. Amen. Oh, you need to meditate on that. You people that think God's after you. Think that God's trying to mess you up. Think that God's behind your sickness. That God's behind your money problems. That God's not trying to help you. That you've been stuck in this forever. Where's God? He's love. He's love. I can't help you that you haven't renewed your mind to the fact that He's love. He's love. I said he's love. Amen. God is love. What's that mean? That anything that comes from him is a demonstration or an act of love. Why? That's what he is. All he can do is love. Why? That's what he is. Love flows from him. Why? He is love. He's only love. What's that mean? Anything that comes from him has to be love. Why? That's what he is. He's love. Say, we get it, Pastor Mike. No, some of you don't get it. That's why I'm hammering it and hammering it and hammering it. Because you're still convinced God's your problem. You're still convinced that God's just turned his back on you. And that God don't want anything to do with you. No, 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 no. You have not got the revelation yet. God is love. Amen. Yeah. Well, my circumstances. Oh, yeah. So your circumstances are more true and real than the Word? That's why you're struggling. Because you haven't renewed your mind yet. Praise God. Go to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. I want to show you a demonstration of his love. Now, I'm going to tie this all together here. Romans 5 and verse 8. Because remember, I said, walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth. That's a fancy way of saying in the King James, demonstrates. More newer translations would probably just write that right out as demonstrates. God demonstrates or proves his love towards us. In that while we were, he didn't just talk the talk. Is what I'm trying to say. He walked the walk when it came to love. He didn't just say, 1 John 4:8, good enough, I'm loved. No. He said, now I'm going to demonstrate it in the highest form, in the highest fashion. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let me just take a little side journey back to those people that are struggling with the God is love thing. So you're telling me that God demonstrated his love and gave you the greatest gift ever in Jesus, but now in your financial trial, he wants nothing to do with you. Doesn't make sense. That now in your physical trial that you struggle with, or your mental trial, or your emotional trial, he doesn't want anything to do with you. Yet, he demonstrated already, I'll do everything for you, but now I want to just turn my back on you. Oh, so now he's a deadbeat dad. Your mind is off. Your thinking is off. Why? Because God is love. And he demonstrated that by giving us Jesus. But what I want you to see in that specific act of love, he demonstrates it in many other ways, but that's the greatest way that he demonstrated it was by giving us Jesus, because he gave us eternal life. That demonstration, what was the greatest thing we received from Jesus dying on the cross? We know healing came from it. We know being able to walk in peace came from it. We know that walking in prosperity came from the cross. But those three aren't the greatest things that came from the cross. If you line up and you say, okay, pick one, Pastor Mike, you get to pick one. Eternal life, healing in this life, prosperity in this life, peace in this life. Which one are you going to pick, Pastor Mike? It's not even close. I'm picking eternal life. I'll take being sick all the days of my life if it gets me into heaven. I'll take being broke all the days of my life if it gets me into heaven. Now, thankfully, we don't have to make that choice. We can be healed. We can be blessed. But my point is, the greatest act of what he did on the cross was the what? The taking of our sin so that we could be forgiven. Amen? So the act of Jesus on the cross, the greatest act and why he was there was so that he would take sin, take our sin, so we could be forgiven for our sin, be clean, be righteous, and go spend eternity with a righteous, holy God. So what am I saying? The act of love and Jesus on the cross was an act of forgiveness. But since he demonstrated his love, what was the demonstration of love? Forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of love. Praise God. Now, go to Ephesians 4 and verse 32 real quick. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Yep. Ephesians 4, 32. I want to help people this morning. Says, and be kind to one another. Wow, that's an idea. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Did he say, try this out? No, he said, forgive. We're called to forgive. Amen? Amen. Now, this is where I wanted to get to with this point of it's not helping your life. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. Now remember Jesus, what he said in Mark 11, 23. He said, you can have what you say. That's amazing. I've seen it work over and over again. Things that were impossible spoke to that mountain, and the impossible was removed. And the money came, and the healing came, and the favor came, and the blessing came. I have Mark 11:24 myself through life. Prayed and believed God for things that I couldn't see, but believed Him when I prayed, and they showed up. It works, praise God. It works. That's called faith. And Galatians 5:6 says this, "For in Jesus Christ..." He said, that's now. Jesus is now. He's talking to the Galatians. You have to understand who the audience is. The Galatians are Jewish believers now. They were people that came out of were Jews that now are saved, born again. So they still have a lot of their old thinking of Old Testament and in the Old Testament laws. He says, now it's Jesus. It's not the law anymore. It's Jesus. "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything nor uncircumcision." What does that mean? Well, in the Old Testament, how did a male become in covenant with God? Through the outward act of circumcision. All the Jewish males were required to be circumcised to be in covenant with God. He says, that don't matter anymore. Whether you do or you don't, doesn't matter. But what matters now with Jesus is faith. He says it's faith that matters now. Well, what does faith have to do with anything? Well, what does it say about faith in the New Testament? Hebrews 11:6 says, without it you can't please God. I guess it is everything. And 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, without faith you can't overcome the world. When you need to overcome, you better have faith. Hebrews 6 and verse 12 says, without faith, you can't receive the promises of God. They don't just fall on your lap. Faith brings the promises in. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 says that faith, what? Quenches the darts of the enemy. You don't have faith, the enemy has an inroad to you. Faith is everything. Faith is how the mountain goes away. Faith is how the prayers manifest things that aren't there and impossible. It's through faith. How'd you get saved? Through faith. It was grace, God's grace, but the grace flowed through faith. You need faith, people. It's not optional. That's why people I knew growing up and places I knew growing up, they didn't receive from God. Why? They begged God. That's not how you get it. Begging God is not cooperating with God. Using faith and doing what He says in His Word is cooperating with God. And they didn't know anything about faith. I grew up in a church and with a family and family that knew nothing about faith. And so when sickness came, they got stuck with sickness. When poverty came, they got stuck with poverty. When turmoil came, they got stuck with turmoil. And you just had to ride that thing out. Whichever way the chips fall. But see, that's not how my life's been since January 10, 2002. The devil's dealt me some things, but old Pastor Mikey Pants has used faith and turned some things around. Praise God. I have, praise God, through the power of God, the Word. Sickness came, doctor said it's impossible, faith turned it around. Finances came and the accountant and the checkbook and the bills say it's impossible and faith said no, it's not. All things are possible to him that believes. You need faith, praise God. But look what it says in Galatians 5 and verse 6. For in Jesus Christ it doesn't matter about circumcision, whether you do or you don't, that ain't what matters. But faith, but faith, but faith, but faith. We know it's faith. I just told you all the things about faith. But notice what it says about faith. Which worketh. Which worketh. Faith has to be worked by love. Heather, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? That will explain this so much better and easier to people. But only faith. What's faith do? Move the mountains. Quench the darts. Please the Father. Overcome the world. Access the promises of God. All these wonderful things that faith gives us. Faith activated. Faith needs to be activated. Oh. And energized. You remember, you know the Energizer Bunny. Right? Energized. What's that talking about? A battery powering something. So faith not only has to be activated. Well, one thing you can understand is your cell phone. You don't just buy a phone from Verizon, pay the money for the phone, and walk out and be able to call somebody. No. That thing needs to be activated. And then when it's activated to continue to work, that thing needs to be powered by a battery. Take out the battery, take out the activation, and you just have a phone that doesn't do anything. He says your faith, you know, the mountain moving thing, the devil quenching thing, the promise bringing thing, the God pleasing thing, the overcoming thing, is activated and energized and expressed and works through love. What's it saying? That love powers. It activates your faith and it powers your faith. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, though I have faith that I can remove mountains, he says, oh, I got faith, no mountain too big for me. That money problem, big deal. God's bigger. That physical problem, big deal. God's bigger. He says, I have that kind of faith. He says, but if I don't have love, he said, I'm nothing. Why? You can have great faith, but if you don't, you can have a great cell phone. You can have the best cell phone, top of the line cell phone. Don't get it activated. Don't get it powered up. It ain't nothing. Just a piece of whatever they make those out of. That's what it is. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4. Remember, he said, if I can speak with tongues of angels, if I have not love, I become sounding brass like a tinkling cymbal. He said, though I give all my goods to feed the poor, I give my body to be burned, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Though I have faith that I could remove all mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. Why? Because love is what powers, it's the fuel, it's the activation behind your faith that causes you to dominate. Amen. Amen. So, bring it back to Mark 11, 23 and 25. Mark 11, verse 23 through 25. Now remember this. Forgiveness is an act of love. Love does what? It powers, it activates, and it powers the faith that you need. So now Jesus is saying, go back to the King James, please. Now Jesus is saying, which is a little wordy, whoever says unto the mountain, be removed, you'll have what you say. Then go to verse 24. He says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe you receive, and you'll have that. You can have what you pray. But then he says in verse 25, because he just talked about 23 and 24, your words that you believe, the words that you pray that you believe. He's talking about faith in both verses. Remember what Brother Hagin said? No words on faith have ever fell that were more perfect. The best words Jesus ever said concerning faith were Mark 11, 23 and 24, and they are. But he says, and when you stand praying, you better be in forgiveness. Why? When you're in forgiveness, you're in love. When you're in love, guess what's happening to your faith? It's activated and powered. It's activated and it's powered. When you step out of love, you step out of faith. You can say it this way. When you step into unforgiveness, you've stepped out of love. And that's why Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, verse 25, yeah, you can have what you say. Yeah, you can have what you pray, but if you're in unforgiveness, 23 and 24 won't work. Why? Because 23 and 24 are dependent upon your faith, and your faith is dependent upon fuel. And the only fuel that your faith has is love. Woo-hoo-hoo! Oh, it's getting good around here now. Getting to the nitty-gritty. So, what did I say, number one? Walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. Why? It's crushing your faith. Yes, go ahead, speak over your kids all you want. Speak over your finances and hold that grudge. Be bitter. Hold that unforgiveness. Wasting your time. Oh, move mountain. Yeah, you believe God's a healer. You know, the best example I can give you is the gentleman years ago told me this story. He said, I didn't understand it, Pastor Mike. He said, I know God's a healer. He struggled with a shoulder injury for years and years. He could give you all the verses on healing. He could give you, he knew God was Jehovah Rapha. That's what the Bible says about him. He's the healer. He's the great physician. He could tell you what Jesus did for you on the cross and that healing's provided. He knew. He went to big time ministers that have an anointings on their life, that people have had miracle signs and wonders under their ministry. And he sat under their teaching, got hands laid on by them, and walked away and stayed the same for years and years and years. It's one thing to have a season of testing. It's another thing that that's your lifestyle. Because God didn't call us to a lifestyle of crisis, a lifestyle of sickness, a lifestyle of poverty, a lifestyle of oppression and depression, a lifestyle of mental torment and emotional torment. No, he called us to abundant life. There's seasons of testing, but our faith pulls us out of that thing. And he says, I don't understand it. Years went by. So I just finally asked the Lord in the car one day. I got mad and threw my hands up in the air and said, Father, I don't get this. And he quoted all the scriptures and said, I know you're a healer. I've seen it in the Word. I've seen it in people's lives. I know you've ministered through these men and women of God that people have been healed in their ministries. And they've laid hands on me and I walked away in full faith and I don't have my healing. And I know we don't go by what we see, he said, but this has been going on for years and years. And I know you didn't call me to a lifestyle of sickness. What's going on? He was smart and asked the Lord. Oh, my goodness gracious me, oh my. In a snapshot, I see situations and pictures in people's lives of things that you're facing and going through. And you wonder yourself, why, oh, why am I going through this? Why, oh, why is this not changing? He's got your answer. Why, oh, why, year after year, did my finances not get better? He's got your answer. Yeah. And they said, and he said, Why, oh why, Lord? And guess what the Bible says about the why, oh why? He that knocks, the door will be opened. He that seeks, will find. He that asks, will receive. If you ask not, you
have not.
You ask not, you have not. So he asked, Lord, why? I'm in faith. I believe it. I don't get this. And the Lord said to him, up from his heart, you haven't forgiven your father. Well, what's he doing? Walking in unforgiveness. Though I have faith that I could remove a shoulder injury. Though I have faith, I could tell you all the word, what the word says about healing. Though I have faith, if I have not love, I'm nothing. What was happening? He had faith, but it wasn't powered. He had the cell phone, but he forgot to activate it and put the battery in it. He said, my goodness. Now his dad had wronged him badly. And he said, Father, I forgive that. Now, when I say that, you think to yourself, it's easy for you to say you don't know what so-and-so did to me. And I just want to make this statement real quick. I know people have been wronged. People have been wronged in ways that can be unspeakable at times, that you wouldn't even say it around certain people. Have been abused and mistreated and mishandled and taken advantage of in things. I get it. But I want to help you with that today, because that was the situation with this guy, and the Lord told him, this is your problem. Now, when Jesus said, this is your problem, he wasn't saying, you're an idiot for feeling this way. That didn't really happen to you. No, Jesus was saying, I'm trying to teach you how to get to your end result. And so he said, Father, I forgive my dad. Instantly, he said, he felt warmth come from the top of his head down to the bottom of his feet. And he said, his shoulder was completely healed in an instant. Why? He stepped into love, and it connected with that faith, and it worked. Amen. Praise God. That's what he told me. Now, number one, walking in unforgiveness is not helping your life. Now, this is number two. It's going to get even heavier here. Mark 11:25. Are you ready for number two?
Amen.
Forgiveness is not an option. Now, this is where you might look at me mad, but I'll explain myself. No matter what was done to you, forgiveness is not an option. No matter what you say, Pastor Mike, you uncompassionate, unempathetic, non-understanding little thing you. I went through such and such. I had this done to me. Listen, before you get angry at me, your Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive if what? You have ought. What's that mean? Anything. What's anything? From the minor things to the worst of the worst, Jesus said, anything against anyone. Until you renew your mind to this, until the word becomes bigger to you than your thing that you're holding on to, because in your mind, and I'm not saying it's not, it's a huge thing that's been done to you. It was awful. It wrecked your life. It changed things for you. Until you get in your mind the revelation that his word is your answer and your way out of that mess, you will hold on to that thing. I remember ministering to a person one time, and they were saying, I would say, your answer is forgiveness. Your answer is forgiveness. You're asking me, they got all offended. You're asking me, Pastor Mike, to forgive this situation. And they threw that situation at me. I said, no, I'm not asking you to forgive that situation. Jesus says, no, he's not. You're the one saying. I said, I'm sorry. Let's go back in the Bible, Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. How do you expect me? I can't believe you'd ask me to forgive this. What was this? This was blown up bigger than what the word was. I said, first of all, don't get mad at me. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. And Jesus isn't saying that to the person to belittle them and to make them feel bad and to say, I don't understand what you're going through. No, he understands what you're going through. How do we know? The Bible says so. It says that he understands everything we're going through. He's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He knows. He knows. And so when he says forgive anything, that's not someone standing up on a pedestal that doesn't understand and is just saying, hey, idiot, forgive. No. He's saying, listen, I get it. I've touched with the feelings for me. I'm already loved. When you know he's loved and you see that verse through love, you know that he's not saying, hey, get over yourself, you dummy. No, he's saying, I love you so much. I know you've been wronged. I know you've been hurt, but it's hindering your love walk. Because forgiveness is an act of love. And it's hindering your love walk. You need to forgive. You're drinking the poison and they're not paying for it. You are. That guy holding that grudge for years, just, I'm going to teach my dad a lesson, Whole time. Father, I thank you I'm healed. Nothing's happening. And guess what? That's what this includes. Even if the offender doesn't ask for forgiveness, even if the offender doesn't acknowledge it's wrong, even if the offender thinks you're crazy, even if the offender tells you you're the wrong one, guess what it says? Forgive. Forgive. Anything against anybody. There's no conditions here. Just forgive. Your only option is forgive. That thing you're holding on to for years, your only option is forgive if you want to be blessed. It's the only option. Now I'm going to help you with that because that's not an easy thing to just do. Praise God. Oh, let me take that back. It is an easy thing if you do it this way. See, because nothing's hard for God. See, the thing that you have going on, I say, oh, I could never, how am I going to do that? You do it with God, it's easy. Why? Because nothing's hard for Him. He said, nothing's hard for me. You do it with Him and use His power, it won't be hard for you either. So I take that back. You keep doing it your own self and you'll never be able to do it and you'll be overpowered by it. You do it God's way and it'll be simple and easy and light and flowy. It's true. Praise God. Jesus said in John 13, 34, a new commandment I give you that you love one another. You can pull that up. John 13, 34, that you love one another. But then he says, how? As I have loved you. That love that we're talking about, walking in, it's the agape love, the God kind of love, the unconditional love. Amen. Amen. And that'll take us to our next point. So number one, walking in unforgiveness and helping your life. Number two, it's not an option no matter what. That's what Jesus said. Ought against any. Anything against anyone. That's your way out. Yeah, but Pastor Mike, no, anything against anyone. Stop magnifying your thing above what Jesus said. When he said anything against anyone, he meant what he said. Amen. Hallelujah. Number three, here you go. Not going to be easy on this one either, but it'll help you. It'll set you free. Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a choice. Now, when I got that revelation through the Word, it set me free. Why? Because I thought I was unworthy or not walking into forgiveness the right way because I never felt like forgiving the one that wronged me. I never had an ooey, gooey feeling, a warm, mushy, warm, honey-like feeling of, yeah, I want to forgive you. No, it was always like, my feeling is like, I want to be in a grudge. I want to talk bad about you. I want to go out of my way to spite you. I want to go out of my way to hurt you and to talk bad about you and make you look bad. That's what my flesh and mind wanted to do. But I saw in the Word I had to forgive, so when I would forgive, I wouldn't feel it. And I think, I'm not worthy. But forgiveness is not a feeling. If you wait for the feeling, you'll never walk into forgiveness because most likely you're never going to feel it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Go to Luke 23 and verse 34. This act of love that we're talking about, forgiveness is love, agape love we're called to walk in. When Jesus said, John 13, 34, a new command I give you that you love, that you agape one another as I have. Well, how did Jesus love? He didn't love conditionally. He didn't say, hey, if you'll do that for me, sure, I'll treat you good. I'll be good to you if you're this. No, he loved us unconditionally. That's the God kind of love, right? Well, the God kind of love was on display in Luke 23 and verse 34. Now, Jesus said, now remember when he said this, he's on the cross. What does on the cross mean? Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a crown of thorns buried into his skull. Before he went there, he was beaten to a bloody pulp like hamburger meat. He was. That's what the Bible says. He was beaten so bad he didn't even look like a human. And he's on the cross. And the very people that did that to him, that are spitting on him, that are cursing at him, that are making fun of him, that are responsible for putting him there, he says, Father, Father, strike them down. Get them. Father, in my greatest moment of physical pain and torment and emotional and mental crisis, forgive them. What's my point? Do you think he felt that? Do you think he felt like doing that? No, we know he didn't. You want to know why? Because the Bible says Jesus was touched with everything we were tempted to do wrong, but he never did it wrong. What's that mean? He was tempted to backbite. He was tempted to lash out. He was tempted to get angry. He was tempted to walk in unforgiveness. He was tempted to hurl back what was given to him. He was tempted to do it, but he never did it. And what place in his life would he be more tempted to call fire down from heaven, to put them in their place than right here? But guess what? That wasn't his response. What was his response? Father, forgive him. Why? Love. Love. It's not a feeling, people. It's not a feeling, people. Love. Love, 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 love. It's quiet in here. I know we're all thinking about some things, chewing on some things. Well, you just ask yourself this: do I want my faith to work? That's the emoji. I like that emoji. Abby will come up to me at times. She's not even seen that emoji, and she'll say, tap her little cheek. Ask yourself, do I want my faith to work or not? Or would I rather hold on to this till I get to the grave? Because what's it doing for you? What's it doing for you? Holding that grudge against that person, constantly replaying it in your mind. Just, I can't believe I hate them. Cursing them out in your mind. Cursing them out with your words. Talking bad about. What is it doing for you? Nothing. God's trying to pull you out of that mess. Now, let me help you, because I said you try to do it yourself, you won't do it. It won't be easy. And you might think to yourself, Pastor Mike, how in the world could Jesus say that? And you think to yourself, I know what you think. I know what you think. Well, he's Jesus. He's Jesus. Big flutie tootie that he was Jesus. He was 100% man when he was on the earth. He was 100% man when he was on the earth. He bled, he hungered, he got tired, he had fun, he laughed, he joked, he got full. God doesn't get full. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't bleed. God doesn't need rest. Jesus needed all those things. Why? 100% man on the earth. The Bible says he stripped himself of all dignity, of all deity, and became a man. So he felt the nails, the same way you'd feel the nails. He felt the crown. He had the same attitude towards people that were doing. Imagine that being done to you, and you had the ability. The Bible said Jesus' life wasn't taken. He laid it down. He had the ability at any time to call legions of angels to get him off the cross. We would all push that button in a second and say, get him, boys. And he stayed there and hung there. Why? Love was on display. And you say to yourself, well, that was Jesus. Well, let me show you something in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Romans 5 and verse 5. Pastor Mike. Yeah. Because I'm here to tell you, what they did to Jesus, none of you have had done to you. You've had bad things done to you. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. He had the worst thing happen to a perfect, innocent man. And look what his response was. Love. Why was that possible? Why is it possible for you? Romans 5 and verse 5. Because I know what the devil tells you. Don't listen to that idiot. That was Jesus. Jesus could do anything. You shouldn't be able to forgive. And for him to even think that he could ask you to forgive that is so unreasonable. And what does he know? I know what the devil talks. The devil doesn't use any new tricks. But remember, Pastor Mikey didn't say that. Jesus did. Aught against any. And hope maketh not ashamed, because, here we go, the love of God. What's the love of God? The agape. The love of God. What was on display when Jesus said, Father, forgive them? The love of God was on display. What? The unconditional. I don't care that you did this to me. I'm going to love you back. That's forgiveness. The love of God has been shed in a little teeny measure in your heart. Nope. The love of God, when you got saved because God came in on the inside of you, he brought his love. The love of God has been shed abroad all over your heart. You have in you the same thing Jesus had in him when he looked at the people that did terrible things to him, and his response was love. You have that in you. You just got to learn to tap into this and not this and not this. This wants to lash out. This wants to think wrong and continually stew over it. This wants to love. And you have that in you. So that's why I said it won't be easy for the person that does it on their own. You know why addictions aren't hard for some Christians, and some Christians, they never get over their addictions? It's not because the addictions are different than one or the other. No. Alcohol's still alcohol for every Christian. A cigarette's still a cigarette for every Christian. A drug is still a drug for every Christian. A gambling problem is still a gambling problem for every Christian. Don't magnify the problem when we have the answer. If you'll build yourself up in God, nothing's too hard for Him. The person that's completely filled with God, when they're pressed on, guess what comes out of them? God comes out of them. Why did God come out of Jesus and not lashing out? Why do when we get around people we don't like and we backbite and talk bad? Because you've been soaking in the world. Why? Because you soak a sponge in grape Kool-Aid, pull that sponge out, press on that sponge, white milk doesn't come out of it. Grape Kool-Aid comes out of it. You soak in God and the world starts pressing on you. You know what comes out of you? God comes out of you. If you'll spend time in His Word, filling your spirit, making it strong. Spend time praying in tongues until your tongue falls off. You pick your tongue back up, you put it back in your mouth, and you take off praying again. And you edify yourself like the Word. Why was Paul able to say in prison, "I rejoice in the Lord always"? Again, I say rejoice. Most people in prison are Christians. Oh, why me? Why in Acts chapter 16, when Paul obeyed God and went to Macedonia, gets beat, stripped naked, thrown in prison, is his reaction at midnight to pray and to sing praises? He's naked in a jail cell, beat to a bloody pulp, and he's singing praises. Why? He's being pushed on and God's coming out of him. Why do you give in to the littlest things and you lash out at someone and your coworker, you talk bad about somebody and the littlest things? Because you're not soaking in God, and what gets pushed out of you is the world, the same thing you're putting in you. Bible says through the Spirit we mortify the deeds of the flesh. All the deeds of the flesh I'm talking about, the addictions, the backbiting, the lashing out, the walking in love, they're mortified or destroyed by the Spirit of God. You tank up on the Spirit through the Word and through prayer, you watch your love walk soar through the roof. And what did the Bible say about Paul? He was praying in tongues constantly. He said, "I thank my God I pray in tongues more than y'all." So when he got pushed upon, he wasn't complaining. He wasn't mad at God. He wasn't talking bad about the pastor. He wasn't talking bad about other people. He was love, 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 love. I just gave you so many answers for your life. Because I know the torment constantly. How do I get over that? I just told you how to get over it. Tank up on God, you'll get over it. How do I get past that addiction? Just tank up on God, you'll get over it. Why? Because your addiction's not bigger than Him. That grudge is not bigger than Him. Would you rather me stand up here and say, "Oh, you're in trouble. Oh, that's way bigger than God. Oh, yeah, that addiction, that's way bigger than God. That grudge you have, oh, way bigger than Him. Oh, no help for that." Stupid. Nothing's too hard for Him. Tank up on Him, you'll be fine. Now, last but not least, praise God. Are you ready for this? I dangled the carrot. I know I already helped people through the Word. I know it. People need to get over some things. Their faith ain't working. And if you're going to get over some things, you have to do the right thing with your mind. You're going to go out of here and you're going to be filled with love and power and the Spirit of God. And you're going to forgive someone and the thoughts are going to come back to you. You better do the right thing with the thoughts. When the thoughts come, "Yeah, but remember what they did." Say, "Oh, no, devil. No. That's been forgiven." Oh, yeah, and let me just say, for those of you that keep liking to throw things in people's faces of what they've repented for already, you know what God thinks is worthy of people's sin that's been repented for? Forgetting. He says, "I forgot it." So when you keep throwing it back in somebody's face, yeah, but you, you're going against God and making them pay for something that God said is worthy of forgiving. It was worthy of letting it go. People can be so cruel. Now here we go. Go back to Mark 11, 25. And I'll close with this. Praise God. We need this. Amen. Love is our answer, praise God. Yeah, remember what Pastor Michael said? And I just loved that the revelation I got in camp meeting. That was me, it's changed my life. I've always wondered what it would mean when he said, covet and desire spiritual gifts, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. It always, the naysayers of tongues would always say, the gifts of the Spirit and speaking in tongues, no, it's not better than love. No, he's saying the way to get in, the way, the avenue in 1 Corinthians 14, to get into all these gifts of the Spirit is walking in love. And you look at Jesus, all the gifts of the Spirit operated in his life except for the tongues, interpretation of tongues. They all operate in his life, and what was he? A lover. He was a lover. You want miracle signs and wonders? You want revelation about your kids? You want gifts of the Spirit operating? You want words of wisdom about your children's future? You want words of knowledge? All parents ought to be operating in the words of wisdom, which is to know the future, and to know the words of knowledge is knowing supernatural things about present things and past things. All parents ought to be operating in the words of knowledge for their children. Start parenting supernaturally. Watch how it changes your life. Know what's up ahead for your kids to have them avoid. But we know little about this stuff. Because a lot of us are not faithful to hear this stuff. Ouch! Ouch! Oh, now you made me say this! Maybe this is why I got the revelation for right now. Y'all remember when Mary and Martha were at Martha's house? And Mary sat to hear Jesus' words? And Jesus said, I'm saying things that are needful. And Martha's what? Running around. Life's too busy to stop and hear the word. I got this going on. Too busy to hear the word. And Jesus said, she needs to hear. And Martha went to Mary and said, she's in my house. And she's sitting to hear the word. There's all this stuff going on. And she sat down. And what did Jesus say to Martha? Martha, Martha, you're troubled. You're busy about many things. He says, Mary chose the one thing that's needful. What? And the revelation I got when I was praying in Olean, or Allegheny last Tuesday, was that Jesus told Martha, your sister sat and heard what was needed. Well, guess what? Martha needed it too. But notice what Jesus didn't do. And I'll tell you why I got this revelation. Jesus didn't stop and say, I'm going to wait to say what she needs until she stops to hear it. Nope, he just went on saying it. Because I've gotten messages before on a Wednesday night. Oh, get ready, people. See, you're just trying to get me to come to church. Yes! That's where you need to be. On Sundays and Wednesdays. I've had messages given to me on a Wednesday night that I know more people would hear on a Sunday because more people come on Sunday. And I've asked the Lord, Lord, can I hold that till Sunday? As if he's going to give me a lesser message that people don't need to hear. We all need the word. But in my natural mind, I've said to him, Lord, can I share that Sunday when more people are there? When more people will hear it? He said, nope, it's for tonight. Well, that's scriptural because Martha's running around and he didn't stop what he was doing to wait for her. What am I saying? Things are doled out for your children. Things are doled out for your life, for your finances, for your marriage, for all sorts of things. All the time around here, help's been given. And some people take it and their lives are changed. And some people are just oblivious. And their heads are in the clouds and they're distracted by life. And needs are being handed out. And you're struggling and you're suffering and things could be different in your marriage. You want to know how I know? I was on the lawnmower. And I had a revelation about wanting to share something with somebody. And the Lord said, don't share that with them. And it would have fixed their marriage. The Lord gave me the answer to fix their marriage. He said, don't share it with them. They won't receive it. They won't receive it from you. They won't receive it from you. And they're not. Oh. We just go about in this natural life like it's the most important thing. And we just go through life. We don't understand there's a spiritual realm. And there's supernatural help for us. And it comes through the pastor and through the church. Your kids. That's why I said to the parents that have your kids in church. And they're making them sit there. You don't understand what you're doing for your children. They're being sown the word, and it's going to pay off someday for them. And things are being doled out around here. I just talked about parenting supernaturally, and some people are like, huh? Parenting supernaturally? I just react as things come. I don't. I see things coming well before they come. Problems coming down the pipe. Why? I'm filled with God, learning God, walking in love, getting revelations about my children. Say, well, you're a pastor. No, no, no. I'm someone that cooperates. And it's available to all of you. It's available to all of you. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. It was a lot of utterance. It sure is quiet here in this Presbyterian church. Mark 11:23. My heart breaks for people that just continue to do it the world's way and things in their life could be different. Lord shows me that. One of the things I wish the Lord wouldn't do is show me some things. I say, Lord, I don't want to see that. I don't want to know that. And he shows it to me. And a lot of times, so I can pray for them. But people don't realize what is waiting for them if they would start listening to what comes from this place. Yeah. The Word. Go to verse 25, I'm sorry, and then we'll end with here. This is going to be freeing for some people. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught, anything against anyone. Does Jesus say anything against anyone? He does. Let me ask you a question. Are you in any? Are you in any? Are you in any? You are. You're in any. For this verse to work, it's not just about forgiving others. It's about forgiving yourself. Two. You're an any. I don't have problems with forgiving other people. Never have. It's not an issue that I struggle with. I struggle with other things. Have to renew my mind to things. Never have struggled with forgiving other people. But you know where I really struggle? Forgiving myself. Oh, man, I know me too well. I can beat myself silly, right? And I was in my tree stand one day, and I was just hammering myself. You're an idiot. What is wrong with you? You should know better by now. How do you keep doing this? You keep going down this, around the same mountain. I'm just... And the Holy Ghost said to me up through my heart, is this how you would counsel one of your sheep that missed it? I said, nope. Nope. It's not how I counsel my sheep when they miss it. The only time I've ever had to come down and sheep hard is when other sheep are in danger. Then yes, the pastor stick comes out. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the majority of the time, 99.9% of the time, all of you can testify when you've gone through something, you've not sat across from me. I said, you idiot. How could you keep going? You're the dumbest thing ever. Like what I was doing to myself. No, I say, come on. There's better for you. Just start doing this. There's better for you. We can pick you up and get going. There's a better life for you. You know it's true. Even things that you fail at over and over again, I'm telling you, get back on. Get back on. Why? That's what God does for me. I said, no, that's not how I'd pastor my sheep. I would be merciful to my sheep, and I'd be encouraging to my sheep. And he said to me, counsel yourself right now like you are your own sheep. So I did what he said. Sir, yes, sir. And I sit in my tree stand. I said, come on in, Mike. Well, hello, Pastor. Have a seat. Thank you for your time, Pastor. No problem, brother. It's good to have you here. What's going on? Well, Pastor, this, this, and that. Oh, brother, that's okay. This is what the Word says about that. This is what the Word says about that. And I started to counsel myself, and joy and life came in. And what did I do at the end of that, Father? I forgive myself. I let myself off the hook. Your faith won't work. You keep condemning yourself. You know why? The devil wants you in condemnation. It'll ruin your faith. He wants you to hold on to your failures and your mistakes. There are people that, because they will not renew their mind of forgiveness, that have hold on to problems and things that they've done in their past. Even if you're in a situation because of what you did, God says, I want your tomorrow to be different. Amen. It's your choice. I was dealing with somebody, and I'll close here. Give me 1 minute. I was dealing with somebody, I said, your problem's not all the things you just told me, so you don't think right. God's offered you a way out if you'll think different. Some of you think, yeah, but Pastor Mike, I did this. Yeah, but I'm telling you, God's offering you a get-out-of-jail-free card from that if you'll think different. Right. Forgive anything. He'll forgive anything, and you need to let yourself off the hook. And then when the devil comes back with that thought about you, say, nope, devil, I've been forgiven of that. I'm free. You know a person that gets a supernatural pardon or a pardon from a governor or a president, when they get out of prison, they don't go walking down the road and say, I want to go back. Put me back in. That's what you do when God gives you a get-out-of-jail-free card and you go and you lay in bed at night and the devil says, yeah, but what about you did this? And then you think, oh my gosh, I'm so dumb. I can't believe I did that. That's you running back into prison. No, you say, devil, I've been free from that. I've been set free. Amen. I'm going to give everybody a chance in your own seat today to repent for anything that you've ever done. For wrong thoughts you take about yourself, for wrong thoughts you take about somebody else. And the Bible says when you ask God to forgive you, he's faithful. 1 John 1:9. Pull that up so they can see that, Heather. 1 John 1:9. He's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. People all the time will tell me, yeah, but I did this, yeah, but I did that. Doesn't matter. The blood covers it all. All unrighteousness. The blood is a supernatural detergent. This morning, you ever heard of the term ring around the collar? Well, sometimes old Pastor Mikey gets sweaty up here. I know it shocks you. And you'll start to get a little stain around, especially a white shirt. And so I'm sitting there this morning, and I don't just put it in the laundry and put regular detergent out. No, I got the OxyClean out. And it took it out. I said, ooh, it's like brand new. Throw it in the washer. You don't, can't wait to go home and see. It's going to be all crisp and nice and white again. The blood is the OxyClean. What are those pads called? Magic erasers. You ever seen those things? What do they put in those things? They are like magic. The blood is the magic eraser. What was there, he wipes it clean, and offers you freedom. What I'm saying is you can walk out of here as somebody that never missed it one time. That's clean in the eyes of God. Never had that problem. It's up to you how you want to think. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. Whew-y. Yeah, Lord, thank you so, so much. Lord, this is a help for people. People need to get some things straight with forgiveness. Not only towards other people, but towards themselves. Yeah, Lord, you're not keeping people on the hook. You're not keeping us on the hook. You're so freely willing to just offer us mercy. Lord, I pray that people get that revelation this morning. And when a thought would come of condemnation, they would deal with that thing. And they'd stop it in its place and say, no, you don't. Because that thought of condemnation is just trying to get you back into prison, hold you down in a stronghold. Say, nope, the Lord said He'd forgive me. He's wiped it clean. Yeah. Keep heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm such a messy eater. There's times I'll get ketchup on white shirts and things, or if maybe I don't have the power to take it out, I'll take it to a dry cleaner's. And I'll get that back from the dry cleaners, and the stain's gone. I mean, I can look at it with a magnifying glass, and I can't find it anymore. And I don't sit there anymore and feel bad like I did when I spilled the ketchup on me. I'm like, oh, man, my new shirt, I got to go take that. It's going to cost money. When I get that back, I'm not sitting there, oh, I feel so bad about this stain. I'm like, wow, it's fixed. It's gone. I can't see it. That's what the blood does. That's what the blood does. I pray that people would get that revelation this morning. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, please, nobody looking around. Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Because God has made a way for you to get to heaven, and it was through the greatest act of love ever, by giving Jesus on the cross for us. So if you're here this morning, you could say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know if I would. I think I would, but I'm not sure. He wants you to be sure. I'm so sure of it. I know. That I know that I know that I have an eternal home in the heavens waiting for me because I cooperated with Jesus. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, you think, how do I get to heaven? Well, you just follow the instructions that the Bible gives you. There's two qualifications you need to check off. Number one is you must believe in Jesus. So ask yourself, do I believe in Jesus? I didn't say you had to understand everything or figure it out with your head, but in your heart of hearts, can you say, yeah, for some reason, I know He was real. I know He died and rose again. I can't explain it all. I can't figure it all out. But I know He's real. That's number one. Number two is you must ask Him to come into your heart. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. So those are the two qualifications. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, anybody in here, I'm not going to embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, or say anything on your own. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This goes for people listening online right now that you can be included in this. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'd go to heaven, but I want to know for sure. And you told me how to get there, and I do believe in Jesus, and I want to receive Him this morning. Again, I told you I won't embarrass you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. But if you're here this morning, and you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, you're not joining this church, you're not becoming a member of anything, you're just acknowledging, Lord, I believe in You. You're doing what Jesus said in John 3:16, whosoever believes would not perish. Romans 10:13, if you call on My name, I'll save you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Is there anybody in here that wants to receive Jesus for the first time and know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven? Lift your hand high in the air if you've never done it. If you've already done it, you don't have to do it again. Lift your hand high in the air if you've never done this before. If you want to receive Jesus, is there anybody in here that's never done that before? Anybody at all? Father, I don't see any first-time hands. So, Father, I trust that everyone under the sound of my voice is born again. Now, for those that did raise their hands, that maybe it's not your first time and you just want to be sure, well, let's pray a prayer and believe God together. But I want you to know that when you pray this, you don't have to ask Him to save you again. And if you didn't raise your hand but you know you should have, just jump in on this prayer. So those of you that raised your hand that you might have already done this before, but maybe you're a little unsure, that's okay. Let's get sure today. With heads bowed, eyes closed, everybody, including those people that raised their hands, repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to take up communion now. Actually, one second, gentlemen. You can open the doors. Let's close our eyes real quick and ask the Lord. Father, you're a merciful God. I want to give people the opportunity to walk out of here free. The Bible says you must confess with your mouth your sins, and He'll be faithful. We don't have to say it out loud or into a microphone. But where you're at right now, if you need to forgive somebody, get it taken care of. If you need to ask for forgiveness for something that you've been held to the fire for years, just ask Him to forgive you. Today's your day. So just take a moment right now. I'm just going to worship Him. Take a moment and ask Him to forgive you. Receive what He's given you. Enjoy the blessings and the freedom of forgiveness. Oh, we thank you for it, Lord. I thank you you're washing us clean right now. It's like we're in the supernatural washing machine right now, the supernatural dry cleaners. All the blemishes, all the spots, all the yuck is taken away to be found no more. We praise you for it. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Brothers, you can come forward with the communion elements. This is a time of reverence, a time of worship. So I just encourage you to just worship God where you're at. Thank Him. This is a time of remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross. Thank you, gentlemen. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. Just begin to magnify and bless His name. Lord, we love you so much. We're so thankful for all that you've given, for all that you've done for us, for all that you've provided for us. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the body. Thank you for the mercy of God. Lord, all the things I've done in my past, if you were to hold them against me, I'd be in trouble. Oh, I'd be in a world of hurt. But Lord, you offered me freedom, and I renewed my mind to that freedom. I took what you gave me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it, but it was free, and so I took it. Amen. I took it. Hallelujah. 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 It's like saying, okay, there's a $100 bill for every single person here. Come up and get your $100 bill at the end of service. Oh, I don't want that. I don't deserve that. That's dumb. That is dumb. Go take what's yours. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for setting me free. Thank you for helping me, Father, when I didn't deserve it. When I've sinned against you, when I've gone against your ways, gone against your word, thank you for being so kind to take me back. And if you're here and you say, well, I've repented for the same thing 721 times, and I'm on my 722nd infraction concerning this thing, well, let's funnel that through the word. The Word says when you ask Him to forgive you, He cleanses it, washes it away, and He says, I don't remember it anymore. So if you did have a 721-time infraction on the same thing, and you repented each and every time you repented, He forgave you and forgot it. So when you bring it to Him the 722nd time, He doesn't look at it and say, you are dumb, I'm not forgiving you 722nd time. He doesn't know it was the 722nd time. He knows it's the first time, that's all He knows why. He has had His memory wiped clean of 721 infractions. So you just go to Him and say, Lord, I know I'm here. In your mind, you know you're there again, but you say, Lord, if you say to Him, Lord, I know I'm here again, He's going to say, I didn't know you were. I didn't know you were. Why'd you tell me that? Stop making yourself look bad in front of the Father. Just go and say, Lord, you've offered me forgiveness. And I ask you for that. Now, in your mind, you know it's my 722nd time. In His mind, it's, this is the first, and I'm glad to forgive you. I'm glad to offer you my mercy. Oh, He's so good. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Go ahead and break the bread, symbolizing the body, and eat it. Now children, you're in here, maybe taking communion for the first time. The bread represents Jesus' body. Jesus' body was broken so that we could walk in healing. Praise God. So Lord, we thank you for your body. By the stripes that were laid on your body, by the stripes that caused your body to be broken and bruised, by those stripes we are healed. We thank you for the body. And then it says over here in verse 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Go ahead and drink the juice. Now, kids, that juice represents the blood of Jesus. That's not the blood of Jesus, but it represents the blood of Jesus. What was the blood of Jesus for, kids? It washed our sins away. So let's thank Him for the blood of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that the blood cleanses us. The precious blood of Jesus wipes away all of our infractions. Every single time, the blood is powerful enough. We thank You for it. We praise You for it. Just worship Him for that. We thank You, Lord. We bless You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. In a second, I'm going to ask us to stand up to worship God with just a few instructions. We do have fellowship and some goodies over in the old sanctuary. If you're not familiar, just go through the door and to the left. And then when service is over, when I say you're dismissed, if you could pass your cups to the outer aisle, an usher will be there to get them. And don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, we have corporate prayer at 5:40. Let's stand up and worship God. 5:40 to 6:10 on Wednesday night. Father, we worship You. We thank You for what we received today. We thank You for the blood. We thank You for forgiveness. We thank You for faith. We thank You for our help this morning. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.
I am yours.
So we search for you, Lord. We seek you.